Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Last week, we began the study on closing the gap. And we looked at Nehemiah chapter 6 and we considered verse 1. Please permit me that we go through Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates. All right, so our pastor did say, and we can see from the scripture that it is hidden somewhere there, where the man of God began to say that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, even though there was the normal gap, as it were, or the normal space of where the gates are supposed to be. So he was very quick to declare that even though the gates have not been put in place, it is not still the gap we are talking about. For me, that is very instructive. That the fact that the gates have not been erected, it is not a gap. Because we have planned to put a gate there. Because even when the gates come there, there will be a time that they will open the gates. It is not still a gap. But we were careful to close up every area that needed to be closed, closing the gap. And last week, we saw the dangers of our inability to close the gaps. We saw a lot of dangers that could amount to possession, being possessed by an evil spirit. We saw the dimension of being attacked by the Satan or by Satan himself, by the devil. We saw all those things last week. Today, very quickly, we'll try and veer a little bit off from the dangers. We'll now carefully look at the causes. And if the Lord permits us time, we'll look at the solution. Please go with me. The C part says, mention some of the things that constitute or can constitute a gap in our lives as individuals, families, and a church. Please let's read 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll read verses 1 to 12. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll read verses 1 to 12. Then we'll try and see what are the causes from that scripture that we're about to read. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul, with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he held it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from him. You see what the women cost in this rank and in this army? Did you see what the women cost? All the women are looking, say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" I didn't say you, the women of those days. You know, the man was just coming back. The women, when they gathered themselves like WMS, not your own sets, those sets, they gathered and they went, they started singing. Now, the stanza one did not annoy him, if you read the scripture very well. The stanza one was not a problem, because the stanza one, I'm sure, was talking about the fact that they have killed Goliath. He was okay with that, because Goliath was a pain in the neck. So they wanted him killed. It was the refrain that was a problem. It was the chorus. And you know, there's a way you normally sing chorus again and again. Even when you finish, you say a chorus again. Like I would say, 5 more times, 4 more times, 3 more times. They were singing it. The man got angry. Now, and I'm amazed. Why sing to Saul? Why didn't they go to David to sing to David? Maybe it is David they are trying to praise. They should have gone to David to sing it to David, to praise him. People can cause problem. Oh. But sincerely, that's not even where we are going to. Because we need to even really understand what is the cause. In short, because that's actually number one even really. Causes of holes, gaps that can be created in our midst. But beyond that, what are the other causes you can see from this scripture? From verses 1 to 12. What are the other causes that can create a gap? Either in our families, you can see how this gap was created in that family. David and Saul wouldn't have had an issue if the women did not come with that song and it created a gap. Somebody would just come create one serious issue. We were living together. We were all doing well. We were enjoying ourselves. You are doing your own. I'm doing my own. Somebody would just come begin to sing somebody's praise and he's singing it to my own hearing. It's creating issues. But what other gaps, what other causes can we see from this scripture that created a gap? Yeah? Jealousy. Beautiful. Jealousy. Because he could have on his own. He could have on his own just said, no problem. What we needed is just for there to be a victor. For somebody to win and defeat the Philistine. Because like somebody will say, he said, you can do all the work, do all the work. While you are doing the work, I'm collecting the salary. The issue remained that he would remain the king. So jealousy also came in. Any other? Is there any other thing that can constitute itself as a gap in our lives, even when we don't know? Things we need to carefully check, even from this scripture. Any other? Anger. Anger is very, very prominent in that verse. Very, very prominent in that verse. In verse 8, Saul was very angry. You see, when a man becomes angry, there's little to which the man cannot do. Many times when you check your life, you discover that when you are angry and you do the things you do when you are angry, the moment that anger wears off, you realize what you have done. Some years back, or visible months, they said a country was, and they beat Nigeria. After they beat Nigeria, the husband was too angry. He carried his wife and threw the wife from balcony. The wife died. Is it not, after the wife died, don't you think his eyes will open? Which kind of anger could have led him to throw his wife from the balcony down and the wife died? Because they beat Nigeria. Is there anything he's going to gain from Nigeria winning or losing? Apart from the fact that you just feel as a patriot, as the case may be, you just feel it. But when will you get to that level? Some of us, because of the secret somebody puts in your hand, they told you that this happened. The moment you quarrel with that person, you will start sharing that secret as prayer points. In your mind, it's prayer points. You know what you are doing, no? But you say, let's pray for Brother Ike. There's something happening in Brother Ike's life, and you are sharing it as prayer points. Meanwhile, you know it's not prayer points. You want to expose my secrets. And so that anybody who says it anywhere, they say, but it was prayer points. So I was innocent and I lie. You know your mind. There is nothing anger cannot cause. There is no kind of hole that anger cannot open up in the life of a man the moment anger comes in. And that was what happened to Saul. Because of that anger, he said he must kill David. What did David do to him now? Do you know, if David did not kill Goliath, it's even possible that even his government would have been toppled. Because Goliath was ready to outrun the nation of Israel. His government would have been toppled. It was David who came, did it. And David did it and went back to his farm. David did it and was just calm. It was Jonathan who brought it. He said, look, today I'm going to make a covenant with you. David would have been very happy to return back to his farm. He had no, there was nothing he was dragging for, but anger. People of God, what does that suggest to us? We need to be very careful about what gets us angry. Because the thing that really gets us angry, if we decide to swallow a little water, we'll discover that there was no need to be angry. Because if we push it and pull it, it will create a gap. And there's no level and no limit to which that anger can't take any man to. What other thing did we see from that place? In that same verse 8. Okay, yes.
I guess inferiority complex.
Inferiority complex. Yes. He has done what I couldn't do. And so, every one of us do not have the same ability. I have said it many times, and I said, for me, it's not an issue. You can't do the same thing others can do. Others cannot do the same thing you can do. You do your own very well. Leave others to do their own. Inferiority complex is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Like as I'm here now, I'll be dragging with a precious stand. Come, let them see you. So as I'm here now, I'll be dragging with precious. What am I dragging? It's okay, stop there. What am I dragging with this guy for? Look at his height. So I want to give myself mental illness by dragging with him. Go and sit down. Sit down. Don't come close to me until this service ends. I can't drag with him. But you know, my joy is that if he can touch what is up before me, he won't touch the one down before me. He will take one, I will take the other one. Inferiority complex is unnecessary. Because every man must discover his area of strength and maximize it. Otherwise, we begin to create gap in our midst. What other thing did we see in that scripture? Eh?
He was insecure.
Yes, that's the child of inferiority complex. The moment he became inferior in his mentality, he became insecure. Even in verse 8, look at what he said in verse 8. Did you see in verse 8 what he said? In verse 8, look at what he said. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? He already gave him the kingdom. They have not talked about who will take over the kingdom. They have not gotten to that level. He said it with his mouth. Do you know many gaps that we have created in our life came because of the spoken word? Can I tell us, church, there is so much creative force in the spoken word. Even the world that we live in was created by the spoken word. So what a man says with his mouth is terrible. It can destroy and it can make. I tell you something that happened when we were much younger. This happened real life. A woman was beating the child, and while he was beating the child in the night, beating the child, he said, I will kill you. He was telling the child that he will kill the child. I will kill you. He beat the child till the child died. I'm telling you what happened in Surulere. I've given you location. That's the best I can do for now. Did the child died? About some months later, one woman just came up and started confessing. They said, why are you confessing? He said, I'm the one, you are the one that is what? He said, I'm the one, what did you do? He said, I am the one that killed him. Killed, who is the him? He said, I killed him. Who is the him? He said that night, when Mama Dis was beating the child, and we were passing. Who are the we that we were passing? He said, we had her say, I will kill him. I will kill you. We said, you want him dead? And she was repeating it, I will kill him. So we now helped her to kill him because she wanted him dead. These things we cannot explain, but she confessed it. Some mothers have even cursed their children. They say, unless I did not carry you in this womb for 9 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days, unless you didn't suck this my breast, before you will not regret what you are doing to me. Unless I did not pour blood on your head. All these are words that are capable of creating deep holes in the life of your children. And we must be very careful. This was a man who nobody talked about the kingdom. The kingdom was not at stake, at least at the time. What is the problem? If Reverend Oyedi decides to do what I can do, why would I be talking about him taking education and youth ministry? Is he tired of music ministry? He's not tired of it. He's enjoying music ministry. And he's doing it, and he's facing it, and he's doing it well. Why would I be troubling myself about education and youth ministry? If I even have an assistant, I don't even mind. But this was a man who on his own just said, in short, the next thing he will get is the kingdom. Did he get the kingdom? Did he get the kingdom? Please, I beg us, church, in our families, in our homes, in our businesses, let's be careful the amount and degree of holes and gaps we create because of the words we say. Words have creative force that can make or mar a man. In the verse 1, I saw that Jonathan even made a covenant with David. Time will not permit me to talk about the issue of the covenant he made. And at that point, it was like an easy transference of his place. Jonathan was supposed to be the next to become king. He made a covenant with him, and from then, honor just bestowed upon this man. I like to talk to you, church, and speak to myself. There are many people who are having issues in life because of the covenant they made in the past. And in their mind, it was in the past. In this world, there's nothing like the past. Because the past will always visit. Anything you have done in the past as a covenant, I plead with you, you must revisit that covenant and deal with it. There are people who today, by virtue of what they did as a covenant in the past, it is haunting them and following them. Until you come to the knowledge of the saving grace that Jesus alone can bring, and deliberately stop that which has been said on your behalf. Those things still stand so. Somebody, it was when they were in Jerusalem. He was promising the lady all manners of things. I will do this for you because they were in Jerusalem. I will do this for you. Then when they came back from Jerusalem and they got to Jericho, all the things he said in Jerusalem, he forgot them. And they thought they are gone. Until today, they are still standing it. Some people, they are married. The challenge is still there. It's because of a covenant that was made in the past. If the Lord permits us, we'll have time to pray and to deal with issues like this. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Please, let's look at the next verse. The next chapter. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10. Proverbs 1 verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. What can cause a gap in our homes, in our lives, and in the church from this verse? Sin. Sin, Abby. But truly, I can't see sin here. You have said sin. My very first look or gaze at this scripture also presents to me sin. But I've not seen sin here. Is there sin here? I'd like to ask, is there sin here? Ma? Yeah, we can see sin as here. Does not mean we can see sin, right? So there's no sin here. You know, sometimes, all right, sister. Sister Shaliwa.
Because of the word entice, I think it's temptation that's in here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what is there. That's what is there. Sometimes our issue has not gotten to the issue of sin. I know some of us will just continue to enjoy it because it is not yet sin. But meanwhile, the hole is just being created on a daily basis. The Bible says just the fact that you are being enticed alone, the fact that someone is being tempted, is enough for one to fall. Is enough for there to be gap created here and there. And whenever we come to a point where something is already drawing us away, let's check it. Please, let's check James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I think verse... verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when by his own desire he is dragged away and enticed. You know, whenever a man begins to come to a point when something is taking his attention away, such a man is beginning to create gaps in his life. And before long, sin will enter. It is the sin that is going to enter, but it is the temptation that is going to create the gap. It's going to create the gap. When each time you look at it, each time you see it, your heart goes there. Even when you close your eyes, your heart goes there. Even when you are walking, your eyes goes there. There's already a problem. There's already a gap in your life. There's already a gap forming in your life. The thing is just there. Even when you are trying to walk out, you are still going back to that thing. You are looking at that thing again. You will soon commit it to. You will soon commit that sin. So, people of God, can I plead with us? If there be anything that each time you think about it, it disorients you. It disorganizes you. You're already being tempted, though. And that particular thing can create a gap in your life. It can create a space for the enemy to come in and introduce sin. Temptation is not a sin. Even my Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. But the moment a man is tempted, the scripture is telling us from that verse that we read, that you are dragged away by your own desire and enticed. And you ask me, when my Lord Jesus was tempted, was it mean that he was dragged away by his own desires? Oh, sure. Because at that point, my Lord Jesus Christ was hungry. So he needed food. So the best way to tempt Jesus was not to tempt him with woman at that point. It was to tempt him with food. Because all his body needed was food. So I'd like to ask us, church, what is your body craving for right now? That is already a space for the devil to create a big gap. Many times we like to deceive ourselves by saying, Mochestia. Odeshi, you cannot be more Catholic than the Pope. Watch it. It is not yet a sin. But if you read on, verse 15, let's see verse 15. Verse 15, James chapter 1, verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, if it has now become pregnant, that's what the Bible is talking about. If it has now become pregnant, it gives birth after 9 months. I don't know the 9 months of this one now. To sin. So from the beginning point, it is not sin. But the moment it continues to show, you close your eye, you see it. You open your phone, you see it. You open laptop, you see it. Temptation is coming. Brother, run. Now, these are small, small things that we call nothing because it is not yet sin. But the Bible says the moment it continues to grow in conception, it will give birth to sin. And that sin, when it is now fully grown, when nobody can correct you again. You know, when we first started with God, And I like to say this because for me, this is a very serious issue for me. When we first started with God, when we commit sin, we can cry heaven and earth. Heaven, if your people in your neighborhood will know that you have committed a sin. Because you will cry, you say, oh God, oh God, oh God. You will cry because that sin has pierced your heart. But as you continue to become familiar with this sin, it no longer means anything to you. In short, for you now, you say, God understands. You commit it with reckless abandon. And you say, God understands. Let me tell you, God does not understand anything. This is one thing God fails to understand. Because it only gives birth to death. Whenever a man is pregnant, a woman is pregnant, the normal thing after 9 months is to go to the labor room and give birth. Can I plead with us? There are gaps we are already creating because of temptation. Let's close it up before sin enters into it. Let's take one more verse, one more chapter from that particular area, and let's move on. John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. What are the many things that can present themselves as avenues to create gaps in the life of a man, a family, or the church? From that scripture we read. Any? Did you see anything there? Anybody? We didn't see any, right? Ma? Pride of life. We are still talking about causes. What's the causes? We are talking about causes. Pride of life. Sir? Love of the world. Sir, you say what? Worldliness. And you know, when we check ourselves, you know, it is very easy for us to think that we are not worldly. It's very easy for us to think that we are not worldly until we discover how much attached we are to the world. You know, we are born again, no? Spirit filled, tongue talking, demon chasing, Holy Ghost moving. But when you discover how much you are attached to mundane things, then it becomes very easy for you to make a personal assessment of how deep you are into the world. It is not difficult to discover. When you discover that there is something you hold on to, once any man touches that area, your real self comes out. Sister, can I ask you, what is your attachment to that thing of the world? Are you not worldly? You know the way the Lord Jesus will deal with the things of the world? Doesn't make anything to him. In short, he was telling his disciples, he said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So when a matter comes and I stand and I say, no, my own, I have become worldly. I have become worldly. Even when I'm trying to tell people, I'm only talking about my rights. What is right in this matter? I have become worldly. Because the Bible is talking about if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if the love of the Father is in us, concerns for the things of this world is not primary for us. We're not thinking about it. It does not eat our time. Otherwise, it begins to create. Say, for instance, because of my attachment to the world, Dikin Adekunle just drives past. And I saw that car he drove. I said, wow, I like this car. Oof, fine car. Fine car. Very fine car. Very fine car. And what's playing in my head is fine car. And I got to him, I'm reading Bible. Ah, A fine car. This has passed too. I'm still thinking of fine car. And that night I will sleep, I will dream. Fine car. The next day I come to church and I see Revo Yeni. The moment he walked into church, the kind of shoe he wore to church that day. I will look at that, sir. He's wearing a nice one now again. So and I can't hold it. I'll just emoji this shoe. How far? This shoe. I like it too. It's a very fine shoe. We get to him. I just say, where you buy that shoe? Alpha. I'm already craving that you should give me that shoe. I can't take my eyes off it. The next day I'm still talking about the shoe. The next day I'm talking about then I'm attached to the word. I am attached to the word. And we have people who, the moment they see what you are wearing, in fact, in their mind, or some people, they will say, they just like to appreciate. They like to appreciate. But once they see you wear a new thing, they want it. Say, can you give me this shirt? They don't even mind if you remove it in church and give them. They will take it. If you remove it and give them in church, they will wear. They say, are you wearing pinafore? Is it pinafore or shimmy? Don't worry, I'll give you a wrapper to cover it. They will collect. I need us to begin to ask ourselves, what's our attachment to this word? Or we open our wardrobe and we see clothes that we have not worn for 2 years. And the thing is just there, still standing, well starched. And you have not worn it for 2 years and you have been wearing different clothes. I entered. Where did I go to? I don't know where we got that. And you just see cupboards. About 7 different cupboards. You know what these cupboards are housing? One person's shoe. Up to down. I say, Jesus wept. And now he's laughing. That's too much. How many legs did God give us? All these attachments. What are they for? The Lord will help us. By the time we begin to pay attention to these things, they begin to create gaps in our life. Even in the church, we begin to see unnecessary competition in church. But what's the way out? I'd like you to get home and check a few of those other things. What's the way out? I'd like us to carefully look at what the scripture said in 2 Corinthians chapter 17 verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. One very nice way for us to deal with the issue of gaps that are being created in our life is for us to be separate. It's for us to come out from among them. Those who are having the mentality of the things of the world, the mentality of being angry, those who just like to compete, those who have this inferiority complex, those who feel they are better than the other. If you are going to close the gaps, the best way is for you to come out from among them. If others are doing these things, you must be separate if we are going to come out, if we are going to bring about solution that will help us to close the gaps. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. People of God, there are so many things there that the Lord has given to us that are ways through which we can come out of the challenge of the holes that men can create in their life. Let's go back to verse 5. What are the things we can see in verse 5? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. What should we do if we are going to close this gap? Ma? We should do what? The very first thing there. You know, one of the challenges we have is that because we come to church, I always hear we say that the church is a leveler. We say the church is a leveler. That's true. That's true. Because once we come to church, yes, it's a leveler. It has a way of making all of us, we are all brothers. We are all brothers. And we cannot deny that. Because even Jesus Christ himself is our brother. You get it? But we know that even when we are brothers, somebody is older than the other one, Nabi. We are not all born at the same time. We know there's respect. Can I tell you something? The church I came from when I got here, before I came here, the church I pastored before I came to Ikoyi Baptist Church, my parents were members of the church. My parents were members of the church. And I'm talking about a man of 80 years, my father, member of my church. So my daddy will sit down and I'll be preaching. And when I finish, you know, is and I, and one day I told my dad, permit me to crack this joke. I told my dad, I said, Daddy, you are my father, Abby. I said, you are my father by birth. I said, but in the church, I'm your father in the Lord. Am I correct? Thank you for agreeing that I'm correct. And my dad told me, he said, my son, you are correct. When we come here, let's do it. Just do it. When we get home. My father-in-law, who has gone ahead of us, about 4 months ago, went. We never for once, even when I am his son-in-law, never for once called me Aike. Never. Never. And we get to the house, my father-in-law will see me. Ah, pastor, pastor. The man will even kneel down. I am the one who will now over-prostrate to pick the man up. It is on me to know. It is on me to know that there are elders. And I see this being played out in church, where young people do not know how to give regard to those who are ahead of them. And it's creating a gap in the church. A young person can be working with somebody who is capable of being his father. And while they are working, the father is carrying something, you know, carrying things here, carrying something here. And the young person is engaging the man and say, please, can you give me something? And the man is carrying, under sun, sweating. He's holding the man to a long conversation. And I wondered, where is this child coming from? People of God, we need to close a gap in the church and in the family that makes those who are younger not see a reason to submit to those who are older. I plead with us. We are all the same. But please, can we have what they call respect and submission? The Lord himself says it is necessary. And as a church, we must learn to do it. You know what civilization did for us is not to throw away respect. You know, we are all Americans here, Abby. Americans. You say first name. What's the... Bosse. Bosse, how are you? Is you I'm calling Bosse. Answer now. It will shock you. Bosse. Anino. How are you? Edna. Moradike, are you doing well? Everybody just be calling first name, first name, first name, first name, first name. Even those who know that by default, These people are supposed to be your mother. And when you get to office, do that in the office. When you come here, let's submit. The Bible says that the younger should submit to the older. Even in office. Even in spiritual office. Even in spiritual office. If God has placed somebody above you in the church, he's above you. If somebody has a spiritual role above you, he's above you. Age no longer counts. It is the one who is younger in age who should know that even in receiving an honor that is not supposed to come to you by age, you must always know to respect the one who has chosen to honor you by your position, by giving the person due respect. Church, that can create a serious gap. And we need to begin to check it. You know, beyond that, the Bible says, also say humility. You know, somebody has said that some people's pride is humble. And some people's humility is very proud. If not for my humble self, that humility is very proud. Very proud humility. And sometimes people are just wondering, say, what is happening? And it's creating a gap in your life. Sometimes we think that we are who we are, but we are not who we are because God sees within us that we are not who we say we are. We need to check it. Verse 6, as we pray to close. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Verse 7. Now, please, what is God expecting of us to do in this place? He wants us to do what? Do you know one of the biggest issues of people that have made them to create holes in their own life is because of the issue of anxiety? You are just afraid of everything. Because of that, you do things you should not do. I've told you, and I will say it, it's not a... I say even my own parents almost put all the entire family in trouble because they are anxious of almost everything. And they carry all of us going to go and put in the hand of a man that would have finished our life. Because they were anxious that my father is the only son of his family and that the whole family in the village, they want to kill him. If they cannot kill him, they will kill the children. So they went, they put all of us. There is no year we didn't see any herbalist. Anxious of nothing. Every year, all of us in the house must visit. So when you look at me closely, you will see that I have small mark here. Haven't some of you noticed it? If you have not noticed it, you are not close to me. It's just there. You think I'm from, which people used to have small mark? Ishekiri Abi. You think I'm from Ishekiri. I'm not from Ishekiri. I'm from Owerri in Imo State. But my parents, every year, if it's not this one, they will put. The next year, they will put here. The next year, they will put here. There is nowhere they've not put. They put here. They put everywhere, every year. So every year when we enter, we are afraid. Where will they cut this time around? It got to a time there is no place to cut again. They have cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. We became grass cutter. What were they looking for? They say, my father's brothers are wicked people. And they have said they are going to kill, because they've not been able to kill my father, they will kill the whole children. We now began to discover that there was a problem in our family. My elder brother finished from the university. When he finished from the university, go and take your results. He said, I'm not going to take my results. He had finished, not university, polytechnic. He said he won't go and pick his results. Why? He said, I'm not going. Go and take, he said, I'm not going. That's how he refused to go and pick his results. The second one, when she was writing her final paper, and I make bold to say it, she ran mad. I'm not telling you about somebody's sister or one neighbor. I'm telling you about my own elder sister who stuck breast, left for the elders that are left for me. The same father, the same mother. Monogamous family. She ran mad. Insane. That's the word. The third one, when she was writing her exam, suddenly could no longer talk. couldn't walk, couldn't write. You give her a pen, she will hold it and be right like this. Tell her to talk, blah, 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 blah. And I was number four, still number four. And I looked at myself, looked up and down. I looked at my the firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn. I said, I know, my own case is always terrible. So I imagined what would have happened to me. And I went to my parents. I said, Mommy and Daddy, quickly before anything goes wrong, what did you people do? They said, we didn't do anything. I said, no. Look at the firstborn. Look at the secondborn. Look at the thirdborn. I am number four. There are two behind me. What did you people do? Because I understood spiritual matters. And they said, well, we didn't do anything. We only take people to this thing. And we have taken, and you know, and what we normally do is for your protection, not to harm anybody. I said, all right. In Igbo land, they say, onyinye mami water. Onyinye obiabo. Wetishi, biawedishi. Bring head, take head. I said, Mommy, you people have gone too far. And I organized a family revival. From nowhere, my elder brother said, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I need to go and pick my results. My elder brother went to pick his results. Today he's working in Total Oil, Total Nigeria PLC. And he has put in about 15 to 20 years service. The second one, beautiful. Third one, who couldn't talk, couldn't write, couldn't do anything. It's about 20 years in marriage as I speak with you. And I'm sure you know that God is blessing me. God changed our story. You know why? Because we discovered that my parents, out of anxiety, put all of it, created a hole in our families. Everybody were entering into it. If God did not open my eyes to see it, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth born, their own case would have been worse. As we close, permit us that we may not take questions. As we close, I'd like to ask a question as we close. What is that hole that is in our lives? We can close it tonight. Because the Bible says, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. He said, cast it. Even if you have committed it, cast it. It was in a service like this. After I finished ministering in the church where I was pastoring before I came, I said, I am led in my spirit that there are many of you, some of you, who have been visiting herbalists. And today, it looks as though it is good, but there's trouble. Can I have you come out? And one woman I never believed in my life, with all the splendor and the blessing, she said, Pastor, I am one. I was too shocked to pray the prayer I prayed. But I feel tonight that there are some of us that we have deliberately opened the doors of our homes to problem. Some children are not making it today because of what their mother said. I have seen a mother who has said, the same thing you are doing to me, your children will do it for you and even more. And today, they are the ones running pillar to post, looking for how to find solution for their children. How can you hold your breast and say, if you didn't suck this breast, you will not see good for what you are doing to me? All these things mothers have said. Can we bow our heads?
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.